WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or... No, wait. Let me get that right. WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch. There we go. Thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. And if you happen to be on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. It really is that simple. You can also follow the channel there, or if you just want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash a handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Linz Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/SuperShowLive and interact with us live. Tonight, you can also check out RockRadioShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts for our interviews with Drew McIntyre and Renee Paquette, which we have dropped this past week. You heard Drew McIntyre last week live on the program and in podcast form with our book review, but we also talked to Renee Paquette this week, which is available via podcast. So go download it now at RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we don't have a huge show for you, but we do have stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about WrestleMania Backlash.
Backlash!
Later in the show, but we also have News Notes, NXT, all your favorites right here on the show. I was trying to get the sheet open, so I was trying to do like three things at once, and it just didn't work. But now the sheet's open, and we can start with the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And, well, we don't have any, like, really massively huge stories.
I mean, there's one.
There's one.
I mean, we'll talk about it.
But we do have stuff to talk about, so I'm just going to start with the WWE news because it's at the top. NXT TakeOver In Your House has been announced for June 13th, and they are bringing back Todd Pettengill to host.
That's cool. Last year he did, like, promos to before the event. This year he's actually, I believe, coming in to actually host the show.
Well, I think last year he
couldn't.
I
mean, there were pandemic reasons why a lot of things didn't occur, but he did some videos leading up to it, so it'll be cool to have him in for In Your House NXT TakeOver June 13th.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. I like that they're making the reference and they're doing their thing. It should be fun.
I like that they're carrying on the tradition of In Your House. It was not a one-off for last year. It's like, hey, this event's fun. And I think a lot of the late 20s, mid-30s wrestlers really harken back to that era because that's when they were growing up. So it's kind of nostalgia for them. So it's cool to bring that whole thing back and keep it going.
Yeah, it's a nice little piece of nostalgia that they can use and people like pop for, and it's introducing a whole new generation to it. And they do it right where it's like they bring in Todd Pettengill and they have the set, but it's still more, it's like modern. It's a modern reinterpretation of In Your House, which is nice.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
So, woo! John Cena has a brand new project for Peacock. He's going to be doing a series titled WWE Evil.
The show is described as an entertaining psychological expose into the minds of the most diabolical antagonists in WWE history and their impact on mainstream culture.
Is one of them Taker?
In addition to being the show's creator, the C Nation leader will also narrate and executive produce WWE Evil. John Cena tweeted the following. For every good guy, there has to be a bad one, and WWE has created some of the best bad guys and ladies in the history of entertainment. Excited to highlight those who made us boo, scream, and sometimes cry. WWE Evil on Peacock TV.
Ding!
By the way, if you don't have Peacock right now, they'll have a 1 month or 1 month offer for Backlash for 99 cents or a free 7-day trial. So if you're on the fence about Peacock, now's your chance to get Peacock for 99 cents.
Honestly, I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's any worse than the old network. But then again, I didn't really use the old network that much. I used it just for like pay-per-views, and that was pretty much it. And for like the docuseries when they put the documentaries out. So, but I mean, it's like, I know a lot of people are disappointed in terms of like the content and everything, but it's coming. They're loading it in, but it's just kind of slow.
It's loading, and I think Nitro's just got added recently. They have added most of every Raw so far. So it's coming along swimmingly right now. Like, I've gotten used to the commercials, and there's WWE specific commercials that are interesting on there.
Yeah, it seems like they made it a effort, for sure.
Yes.
And speaking of...
Yes, Ash. Xfinity customers get Peacock for free. Yes.
Xfinity and I believe Cox customers get it for free.
Yeah.
Depending on what plan you have. Because I think at least for Comcast, you have to have X1 to get the Peacock for free. But I mean, it's really, especially for like in terms of commercials, the live pay-per-views don't have them.
No,
it's only the live events or the taped events. So it's like it's really not even that bad,
right?
And in terms of the commercials,
the only commercials you get on the WWE pay-per-views are WWE specific commercials that you would see no matter where the event aired.
Yeah. So I don't mind it, but I mean, some people don't like it, and that's their choice.
Yeah.
And speaking of choices, there's some interesting things that kind of leaked out today. It's rumored, or I guess more than rumored, because I suppose somebody saw her. Zelina Vega was at the WWE PC.
She was.
So there could be a chance that...
There's more than a chance.
Well, I'm trying to be conservative. I don't want to get people's hopes up. But there could be a chance of a reconciliation. I think she honestly got let go.
She got let go for breach of contract.
For breach of contract because she opened the OnlyFans. And at the time that she did it, she claimed that she did it strictly for the cosplay stuff, not realizing that, you know, that the stuff that was going on at the time would cover that. So they did let her go because of the breach of contract. And I don't think either side was necessarily bitter about it.
She stood up for what she believed in. She breached her contract and it happened. There was never bad feelings. There was no hard feelings, especially on her part. She was very thankful. And there were other people who were trying to use the union talks as a platform during election season, and she got caught up in it. What's his name? Andrew Yang or something like that.
Yeah.
Was a big supporter of the workers at one point and has said nothing about it since. Just pointing that out.
I know Paige was big on that bandwagon.
Yeah, they were all, because they thought they had, you know, people were in their ears, and she stuck to her guns, and she became a full-time or semi-time Twitch streamer, and still streams from time to time, but it's good to see that she is working her way back into the business, and cooler heads have prevailed, and she should be making her way back, because she was seen filming scenes with a legacy talent, a fourth-generation legacy talent.
Mm.
So, Whether that leads to anything or not, who knows, but that's what's cooking.
Yep. Yeah.
If you can read between those lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the NXT talent do have more levity in terms of, like, being able to stream and do other things. Like, they did not come under that whole Twitch, YouTube streaming drama. They were allowed to keep going. It was mainly the main roster talent that had to stop. So if she comes under NXT, obviously she will have a lot more freedom, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they don't, like, work things in her new contract. If she signs it, we don't know. They could have been just had her there for a screen test, because I think she's friends with this person, but...
She is friends with this legacy fourth generation talent, but...
Yes.
She is working her... She's on her way back sooner rather than later, which is good for her.
Yeah. Which will be very good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, speaking of very good for people, for things, AEW dropped a bombshell this week.
This was the big story.
This is the big story. They announced that they will be going back on the road this summer, and they will have full capacity when they go back out. They've announced a limited selection of new dates. They're also in the process of reworking their schedule from pre-pandemic a year ago.
Which they've been slowly postponing and rescheduling as they go.
Yeah, so they have announced Dallas, New Orleans.
No, I got it. After safely hosting 27 live ticketed events throughout the past 9 months at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, AEW is bringing the excitement of a flagship show, AEW Dynamite, to Miami, Austin, and Dallas this summer. AEW will be.
New Orleans?
I don't know. AEW will become the first. I know why you got it. Continues. AEW will become the first major wrestling promotion to safely return to a traveling schedule since March 2020. Wednesday, July 7th, James L. Knight Center in Miami. July 14th will be the HEB Center in Cedar Park, Texas, and the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland, Texas on the 21st. General tickets for these shows will go on sale tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central via AEWTix.com. Tickets also before Miami also we can purchase at Ticketmaster.com and for the Dallas show at the Curtis Colwell Center.com. Tickets start at $30, not including service charge or fees. Each event will be held in compliance with state COVID safety guidelines and seating capacities will adhere to state and local mandates. Now where you got New Orleans from, the company also announced two rescheduled dates for St. Louis and New Orleans. St. Louis from June 23rd has been rescheduled for Friday, November 5th, which will be an AEW TNT television taping, so they'll be taping other content, not Dynamite. And New Orleans was rescheduled for the Uno Lakefront Arena in New Orleans on Wednesday, January 12th, 2022, for an AEW Dynamite event. What makes all this interesting, because the phrase was, the first major wrestling promotion to safely return to a traveling schedule. Some news came out today that another pro wrestling company is going to look to return to live event touring in July as well, apparently. The rumor date is starting July 16th for Friday Night SmackDown.
No city, nothing
like that, but that will be the first weekend. So they're going to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, for whatever that may be.
I kind of have to wonder if it's a test or if they're going full balls to the wall.
They said they're in the stockholder call, there was no test. It's all in.
Okay.
So once they start, they're probably going to go all in. So if it's July 16th, I would expect every weekend, hopefully they run some shows. And if it's just a one-off and then they go back again in August, we'll see. But I would assume that once they get all the infrastructure in place, they're going to start running dates. The reason I can report... where we can report that the WWE is sort of looking to go back out on the day. It's the same people who broke the story about NXT moving to Tuesday, so I kind of buy into the source there.
Yeah, but it's all speculation right now when they're actually going to go back out on the road.
Dates could change, but that's what it's looking like.
I mean, I think that's great news for both companies. I think they both are beyond ready to go. I think in terms of just getting back out on the road, I think the talent are. I think they're eager to get back out in front of fans. I think a lot of us are eager to return back to normal and WWE touring again, AEW touring again, having fans at wrestling again. I think that's a huge step. And this comes basically after the CDC announced today that vaccinated individuals no longer have to be masked, period. End of story.
So the reason I went, I remember hearing something. So I said July 16th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The scheduled date for July 18th is a Sunday. That's Extreme Rules. That could be the first pay-per-view with fans.
Okay.
Just going off of things. So just things to take note of.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they're eager. I think they don't want to wait for SummerSlam. I think they want to go ahead and get out on the road. And it makes sense because, especially with their lease ending at the beginning of August for where they are now, for the Yelling Center, it makes sense that, yeah, they want to get out. They want to get out in plenty of time. And then what they can do is they can have a crew break down the Thunderdome and get it all back to Stanford or whatever they're going to do with it, and go from there.
And
I mean,
if they want to record some, they can, with the remaining dates they have, they can tape, main event and other shows just to have content for a little while.
Yeah, so it's a good strategy. It's a good plan where it's like they're not rushing to get out of the building. They have a plan. They're going to get out. They'll move out slowly and then they'll go ahead. Because, I mean, realistically, they could just store everything at the building until they're ready to take it back up to Stanford. But I think they have to get the trucks ready to go and that kind of thing because I don't know if they have the trucks parked there or not. They may. Like, that's the thing. I don't know where the trucks with the Raw and the SmackDown sets ended up. I don't think anybody ever figured that out. Did those get sent back to Stanford or are those in Florida?
Hey, I would assume they went back to Stanford or parked outside the Thunderdome, brother.
I don't know, man. Like, I never heard what happened to all the touring stuff. Like, the house show trucks, where those went. Like, I'm assuming eventually they all got it all back up east, but, like, they were scattered to the winds there for a while, so who knows? So it will be interesting. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's good news. So when wrestling comes, because we've all been trapped in our houses for the most part for over a year, I would ask that you go. I'm going when it comes here, because I want to go, because it's been a long time since I've been able to go. So, and the last time I was like, yeah, no, I don't really want to go. And then it's like, boom, no wrestling, like traveling for a year. And it's like, oh, this is awkward. And who knows? Maybe a certain someone will be back by then. I'll have to see. I have to see how he's feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Moving on. Before we do Impact Blame Prince.
Yeah, that's good. Let's go into what we call the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, Brent did a number on Ricky Starks. He has a slightly fractured neck. He will be out for 3 months.
# blame Brent.
He will continue to appear on TV for AEW. But that sucks.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you want to add him, but we could add Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho arm injury?
# blame Brent.
He, according to him, hurt his elbow when he fell on the bump at Blood and Guts. So we will add that in there. Now moving on to Impact and other news. We were talking about the weekend of July 16th. That's an eventful weekend because Slammiversary is going to be on July 17th. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then Jordynne Grace has re-signed with Impact. So good for her.
Good for her. Oh, one other note. Double or Nothing has had a fan fest.
Mm, there you go. So y'all can mingle and do your fan fest things. NXT?
Yeah, they're going to have like live shows and sort of what they were doing, how they were called when they first were starting the tour. Those type of things.
Like conventions, mini conventions?
A mini convention type thing. Yeah. That's what they're planning on, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This show started with a father leading his child into battle.
Death.
I was being polite and a nice battle. He was leading him to the battle.
I'm just being honest. Johnny Gargano sacrificed his son to carry a cross.
He did. It was an entertaining slaughter.
Oh, it was very entertaining. Like, I was sitting here watching it. It's like, I don't think y'all understand how much I really, really, really wanted Austin Theory to somehow luck into beating Karrion Kross.
She did.
And taking the NXT title off of Karrion Kross. Just for the lulz. Just for that, wait, what the heck just happened? And now Karrion Kross is chasing after Austin Theory, and Austin and Johnny are on the run from Karrion, and to convince, like, Austin, like, you don't want to face him. You don't want to face him again. Here, give the title to me. give the title to me. I'll take it. I'll face him. I'll protect you. And Austin, being the sweet summer child that he is, hands the title over to Johnny. And they trade titles. Or Johnny has both the North American and the NXT title. Like, I wanted that so bad because I can just picture the skits in my head. It's hilarious.
It was a non-title match. She was like locked into beating him here, and then they made it a title match. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
She wanted Austin Theory to become number one contender and them winning the title. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
But it was not.
I thought it was a title match, but still, number one contender's fine too. Like, just Austin just lucks into beating Karrion Kross.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alternate is that the plan to actually beat Karrion Kross. I could just totally picture, like, Austin doing what Finn couldn't, which is making Karrion lose his temper, because Austin actually was doing that in this match. Like, Karrion was getting more and more and more and more pissed off as they face each other. And it's like, oh, I want to see him lose his temper. I want to see that cost him. And I want to see the reaction shot from Finn Balor afterwards where he's like, son of a... God damn it.
So Karrion Kross would end up winning the match. Johnny Gargano had great facial reactions throughout the match, and him trying to help Austin Theory did not go in their favor. But after the match, we pan backwards and... there's Finn Balor. He's like, I don't want to wait in line. I want my rematch. Karen's like, I want the rematch too. Let's do this. Done. So what's, I think it's in 2 weeks they fight?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
We had a non-title match. MSK taking on Breezango. Solid match.
Very solid match. Very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Which saw the champs win. They were trying to push, like, on commentary where Breezango could be turning heel, kind of. Because of they keep losing, so... we'll have to wait and see on that. I don't think that will go over so well. Johnny Gargano started complaining to William Regal about Bronson Reed, and Regal's like, he believes in Gargano. Even had the marketing team produce Johnny's headbands. And Johnny's like, all right, cool. That's actually cool. But you still have to fight Bronson Reed. And then Gargano looks at the breast knocks and said, picks up the pencil and breaks it. He was mad.
You know, it's Uncle William's birthday, Johnny. The least you could have done is brought him a cake.
Could have. You know who did not bring him a cake?
Who?
Leon Ruff. He went, he stormed into the office earlier in the day, and he was mad. Like, I'm clear, I want to fight. And Regal's like, no, you're not fighting. And I'm like, I'm fighting. And he's like, no, you're not. He started just trashing the office like, no, you're not. You leave. I'm doing this for your own good. Remember that.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Because Pete Dunne came to the ring. And then he set up an open challenge. And out came Leon Ruff.
Leon, no.
Leon tried to hold his own, but in the end, Dunne tapped him out.
Joint manipulation. That's all this was. This was just joint manipulation. Yeah. Leon Ruff learned exactly how flexible he was Wednesday night, or Tuesday night.
In 2 weeks, the world premiere of Frankie Monet.
But we've already kind of
In-ring. In-ring. It's her world premiere in-ring.
Is she bringing the dog?
We'll have to see. 2 weeks. But women were in the ring next for the NXT Women's title. It was Raquel Gonzalez and Mercedes Martinez.
This is really good.
Really good match.
Very enjoyable. And maybe just a little tease that Dakota and Raquel aren't on the same page.
A little bit. Raquel retained. But yeah, they could be.
Could it be that maybe Dakota's got her eyes on the prize, as it were?
Sean's jealous of Diesel? What? No.
What?
Whoa, no way.
It never happens. Ever.
I mean, she's very happy for her friend. I mean, just...
that little green-eyed monster's coming out.
Yep. Johnny and Austin were backstage, and they were being escorted out of the building by referees and trainers, because Bronson Reed was laid out backstage, probably by Gargano and Austin.
Or could it be... could it be Loomis?
Mr. Loomis, maybe. But in the ring, we had... Isaiah Swerve Scott and his new crew, the Hit Row Records. They started talking about how he made a mistake of trying to be what the people wanted. He said he's not about the Swerve House or Swerve is confidence. He's Swerve is savage. And he introduced Top Dollar AJ Francis and talked about his NFL and TV career. Ashanti was also talked about his prowess, and then B-Fab is the other person. This is the female. She did a poem, and they're Hit Row, because now you know. Solid.
Very solid. Like, I like that you get a little backstory in each person, that we got an introduction. We know who they all are now. They're not just, you know, background. So, this is good. I'm liking this. I'm into the fact that Isaiah has a crew around him, And it just makes him, again, feel that much more important. Plus, you know, eventually when Leon takes another shot at him, it'll be a little difficult for him.
So, we're at a home auction.
Oh my god.
And we pull up. It's a $2 million home, or whatever it could be. It's Cameron Grimes got out of his car that was already in the parking lot, in the driveway, going, this is going to be my house. And they're going, and he puts in the first bid of $2 million, and they keep going, and Cameron's a little behind, as you know, couldn't keep up with the auctioneer, who really wasn't going that fast. But there was a bid made by a man at one point who was covering his face with a paddle, and then you kind of know who it was. And then Cameron put in a high bid. He thought, I got it. He put in like $8 million or something like that. And the man goes $20 million, and it was $1 million man.
He overpaid.
He overpaid. Yeah, definitely overpaid.
That house is not worth $20 million. I'm sorry. Ted, that's just too much.
Do you ever else who told Cameron that everybody has a price for the $1 million man and that Grimes is no $1 million man?
As stupid as these skits are, just as absolutely ridiculous as they are, I love them so, so much. I don't know where it's going. I don't know if eventually you're going to have Ted, like, mentor Cameron Grimes, but I just love the dynamic of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Cameron has come into the character, and he's just owning it. Like, yeah. He's just so good at it, because he's so ridiculous. It's just so over the top. I love everything about it. And I had a realization that it's like, the reason why I'm having problems with Raw is because I'm so spoiled by NXT with, like, people that I can get, like, involved with, like, in terms of their characters and get invested in and enjoy, because it's like, you have people like Cameron Grimes, who's just doing this crazy millionaire redneck running around in a brown suit without a shirt and a top hat kind of thing. And he's just riding around in a Bentley in Florida buying crap because he can.
Well,
you know?
Well, attempting to.
Attempting to buy crap because he can. And Ted DiBiase is cutting him off at every turn because why? He can. Like, there's no other rhyme or reason. There's no anything as to why Ted DiBiase suddenly has a beef with Cameron Grimes other than he was bored that day. So he just decided to ruin Cameron Grimes' life. And then he decided it was fun. So he just kept doing it. Well, like, what this is.
Well, he has the beef because Cameron tried to do his bit at the very beginning.
I know, but I like it better that Ted just decided it was fun.
Oh, I know.
Like,
because it is. Ted,
it is. Like, it's fun. Like, Ted DiBiase just gets to, like, pal around Florida and be like, okay, right, what's Cameron Grimes up to today? Okay, he's going to go try to buy a house. I'm going to go outbid him, which, by the way, if you're a millionaire, why would you go to a house auction? Dude!
Investment property? I don't know.
That's more than an investment property. I mean, that was a pretty nice house that they were at, so I don't know. I just was like, this whole thing was just so stupid, and I loved it. Everything about these, I just love. I actually, for a second, because I had to laugh, because Dogecoin took a dip this week after Elon Musk appeared on SNL and that whole debacle. I thought for a second that they were, like, auctioning off Cameron's shit. Because the white Bentley's just sitting in front of the house, right? Or not the Bentley. No, I guess it is a Bentley. Whatever he has, the white car, is sitting in front of the house. And it's like, wait, are they auctioning off Cameron Grimes' stuff because he's bankrupt due to Dogecoin? Well, and no, it turns out they weren't.
It was not
but,
to be. Yeah.
It's like, it seems like that's a little bit too much for, like, or too soon, but that would just be the way that the story goes, is like, Cameron's either already blown through all his money, or, you know, he lost it all because of bad investments or whatever, because let's not forget that he lucked into this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is so good.
Kyle O'Reilly took on Oney Lorcan. Kyle got the win.
This was good. I wouldn't mind seeing these two go again.
So, Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan were upset, and they were taking out on Cool Kyle, and the man came out of nowhere to help clear the ring. The
Mr.
man?
Fish.
Bobby Fish.
Mr. Fish came back to NXT after the implosion of Undisputed Era, you know, after all the tempers have cooled and Roddy left, and we still have no idea what the story is on Roderick Strong.
I was like, this whole thing, it's whatever it is. I'm not here to be, you know, Undisputed Era. I have my own beefs. But we're cool. So there you go.
I like that they did that. That Bobby's like, you got me in the divorce, okay? We're fine.
We're cool.
Like, I have no problem with you. But just so we're both clear, we're not going to attack each other, right? Right? Friendly? Friendly? You're doing the whole little squat thing? Friendly?
Friendly? Friendly? Friendly? Friendly?
Ah. Yeah.
It worked.
This is nice. I like this.
It was announced the next week's NXT North American Championship match between Bronson Reed and Johnny Gargano. Steel cage.
This is why you don't break Uncle William's pencil.
And in your main event, 2 out of 3 falls, Kushida Santos Escobar for the Cruiserweight title. Good match, which saw Kushida pick up the win.
This was a really good match. Very enjoyable. They got to show their stuff in this one.
Yeah. They had like 20, 25 minutes, so good stuff.
Yeah, and I like that they gave them that long for 2 out of 3 falls match, because you need at least that much time, because I hate how they do like the falls like really super ultra quick kind of thing.
Yeah, and they were a little quick, but yeah, they had a bunch of time to really finish it out.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
So, it was very good stuff. Very enjoyable show altogether, like this. And with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening.
Sounds good.
And when we come back, we are going to be doing WrestleMania Backlash. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
main event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Mondays, once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ah!
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It really is that simple. You can also follow the channel, too. Or if you just want to hang out in chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And, well, before we do, WrestleMania Backlash. Let's do two of the week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, HGTV. Thanks for all the hometown takeover love, y'all. Got a question about the show? Ask it now for a chance to see it featured on air. Carolyn responds, if Ben and Aaron weren't doing this, what would be your professions? Ben responds, stripper and a truck driver. Aaron responds, you're terrible. Carolyn, but you'd be the prettiest truck driver ever. Talking to Aaron.
Ben was very happy that she got the joke.
Symphony, I think it's time I get a license. Courage JD, can I learn in your car? Brooke AB, oh my god, I just had a great YouTube idea. Courage buys Symphony a car and teaches him how to drive? Smiley face, thumbs up.
It's content.
It is content. Dr. Lupo, shouldn't you be buying a car for your child? And it's a picture of Brooke and Symphony, with Symphony, like, shrunk down to look like a child.
Nice.
Tim the Tatman, boneless wings are better than bone-in wings. Dr. Lupo, all wings have bones in them. What you eat are called chicken nuggets. Noah J456, guys, someone followed me today, but Twitter won't show me who it is. Can anyone see this image? And it's a picture of John Cena following him on Twitter. Addison Boyers, or Dr. Lupo responded, nice. And Addison Boyers was like, does John Cena follow you, or are you salty, Lupo? And he responds, he follows me too, bud. To which my mind just was like, boom, for the fact that John Cena follows Dr. Lupo.
Worlds collide.
Worlds collide. Will they do something together? Probably not, but it would be super cool if they would. That's it. That's all I have.
I only have a couple myself. So Aaron FTW, a pro Valorant player, goes, I remember my first Fortnite LAN. I met Poach. He even asked my mom if she wanted to hang out afterwards. I remember hearing them in the hotel that night when he locked me in the closet. I think they were practicing box fights because I kept hearing the walls get smashed. What a great guy.
I was drinking when you read that.
I mean, Ed Van Verk, new career highlight, being called out by Sheamus. Doug Glanville, Fulmer, a Major League Baseball player. Verk, it may be time for you to get in the ring. Let's come up with a ring name. Moo Key Betts, Cinephile Rage, Thumbs Up, Pops, Corn. Verk was like, you had me at Mookie Betts. Mark Ingram the second. Hey, at United, y'all just gonna not put my checked luggage on the plane? I have appearance and events and now I have no clothes. Shake my head. I tried y'all out and I'm trying to avoid it from here on with garbage can emoji. Chris Long, you're rich. Buy clothes. Mark Ingram replied, you're rich, Chris. How about you buy me clothes? Crying face emoji was the reply to that. That's all I have. It's a slow week for funniness. But that was Tweet of the Week.
It was Tweet of the Week.
Now, it's time for WrestleMania Backlash. And it has its own bumper.
The Rack's pay-per-view preview.
WrestleMania Backlash
Edition.
I love Joey Styles. I got kicked off of Backlash. I'm not good enough to call Backlash.
Well, you know. Yes, the appropriately branded, because we all know it's just a rehash of WrestleMania anyway, more or less.
Kinda. Not overly.
This time it's not overly, but usually it is. Like, usually it's just they redo WrestleMania without the special matches.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, this time it's actually a little bit different. So, We're going to get into it, and we're going to talk about it. First match on the card is SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line as your champions, the Dirty Dogs, are taking on the Mysterios.
Quick reminder, you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork after SmackDown tomorrow and give us your picks there, because hopefully by then the final card will be put out. So the weeks in the build-up have been interesting. We've had the Street Profits attempt to regain the tag team titles, and they've fallen short a couple of times, which is understandable. I mean, you have Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, the reigning and defending tag team champions, and they're slowly defending their titles. Not often, but when they have, they've come out successful. And then we've seen the Mysterios battling Alpha Academy, which is Otis and Chad Gable, which is a hell of a team, by the way. Just a hell of a team.
They're very entertaining.
Very entertaining. Very athletically gifted team as well. Two Olympic caliber athletes. That's just an amazing team. But neither they or the Street Profits are involved. But all four teams have been sort of like intertwined, as it were, in the last few weeks. The big hook on this match is whether or not the Mysterios can be the first father and son duo to win the tag team titles together. Which would be an amazing feat. And I think back in January, late December, January, whenever we did the prediction show, I was like, I think this year the Mysterios are going to get the belts. And it's like, that's a good prediction on my end. And I was like, maybe it's this Sunday at Backlash. I mean, you would want, again, this my brain goes, you want that big pop, but that pop is months away. So it's like, is it actually time for the Mysterios to win these belts? I mean, Ziggler and Roode have had these belts, what, 2-3 months at this stage? I think they got them right after the Rumble, right before the Rumble, somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. It was a surprise win, too.
Yeah.
Didn't they get them, like, right after, like, the brand? No, not right after the brand split, because the brand split happened.
No.
You
mean the draft?
Oh, yeah, the draft.
No, that was when the Street Profits had the belts, and they flopped with the New Day back at the draft. WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles. Looking up really quick.
Live Googling on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Live Googling. Googling on the show. Let's see. Give me the order. There we go. January 8th, right before Royal Rumble, they won the belt. So it's been 125 plus days. They've had it 4 months. I mean, that's a long time, I guess. In theory, you could say the Mysterios should win the belts at that stage, because usually they like to switch the belts after a few months, I guess. But I don't know if I want to see the Mysterios with the belt just yet.
I think it's kind of like the natural progression, though. Like, I don't know what else you could really have them do at this stage, because you kind of have them poised, ready to take those titles.
But at the same time, looking into the future, and Amanda has brought up a team in chat, the Usos. So say the Mysterios win the belts, and they're very high on the Usos, and trying to seemingly push the Usos back together, which we'll get more into when we talk about the main event. The Mysterios winning the belts, being transitional champions, just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't seem right, I guess. Because the way I figure it, and you could sort of lay it out, is, okay, the Mysterios win here, they get the rematch against Dirty Dogs, they come out on top, maybe they defend against Alpha Academy, come up with the win, and then lose it to, say, the Usos, or they lose it to the Street Profits, who then feud with the Usos, so you have Street Profits. Usos is probably your main summer story for the belts, I guess, and it leaves sort of the Mysterios out of the loop. Because that would seem to be the money match for, say, a SummerSlam, is the Usos and the Street Profits for the belts. Seeing as they're the hottest acts on the brand. I don't know.
I feel like they aren't doing a lot with the Dirty Dogs. I mean, I could be wrong with that. But, I mean, just based on what I've seen, I just don't feel like they're really doing a whole lot with them. They're just kind of holding the titles. I get why they put the titles on them, because they kind of needed to.
They've just had,
help elevate them.
They've had one title defense.
And I feel like with the amount of tag teams that they have kind of ready to sort of take those titles, it would be a natural thing to have the Mysterios take it, because they're faces. They're the good guys. You have a lot of heel teams that could easily face against them. But I don't know. I just kind of want the Mysterios to win. No offense to Bobby and no offense to Dolph, but like, it would be a nice moment, I feel like, on the show to have the Mysterios win, and you have your first father-son tag team and where does that go from there kind of thing. But they could also not do it just because maybe Rey doesn't want to be a champion. I don't know. But I got to go with the Mysterios on this one.
I stand corrected. Dirty Dark's probably had a couple title defenses. I think three, maybe, since holding the belts. But they're trying to play in the background. It's like, hey, we're here, but just focus on everyone else. Don't worry about our belts. We like our belts. You guys just fight. So you're going Mysterios?
I'm going Mysterios.
I'm going to go Dirty Dogs. Magic 8-Ball. I have to ask the question, Ash, before we do the 8-Ball. Will the Dirty Dogs retain the tag team titles on Sunday? There we go. Most likely. There you go. And then, Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3.
It said Wrestler 3!
Wrestler 1.
That would be in the champs.
It said Wrestler 3.
Also, it's a new voice, by the way. They gave it a new voice.
I was going to say, I noticed that it doesn't have the same Wrestler 3.
They updated the voice for whatever reason.
It's Wrestler 3!
Wrestler 3!
I miss the old voice. The old voice is better. Anyway, up next. In a lumberjack match, you have Damian Priest taking on The Miz. No title, no nothing, just lumberjacks.
So that way, The Miz can't get away.
I hope, no offense to The Miz, I hope Damian wins. I hope they do something with Damian. I want to see them do something with Damian, because the back and forth 50-50, especially coming out of WrestleMania, where they honestly did not capitalize on Damian's momentum, especially with Bad Bunny, at all. Has been disappointing, and so I want to see them take Damian Priest to the next level because he has everything that they look for. He is a star, and I'm just tired of the back and forth with him and Miz and Morrison. Like, the matches are good, they're fine, like, there's nothing to complain about there, but it's just they're kind of in this holding pattern, and you can tell they're in a holding pattern, and at this point, you need to move them.
This is your typical Backlash match. This is your WrestleMania return. This is, hey, we had a big stipulation match at WrestleMania. That part of that act is not here. So, hey, we're going to do a different type of match. We're going to go one-on-one. And that's what this matchup is. Miz is doing his job of trying to get Damian Priest over. And Miz this year has been a WWE champion. So him losing to Damian Priest is elevating Damian Priest because he's now beating a former champion. Not someone who won it 10 years ago. Someone who won it this calendar year. So that would be a big win for Damian Priest, and that would hopefully elevate him, hopefully, into the main event scene, because, as we're going to talk about later, that main event scene is kind of lacking right now. And you can use some new blood in that main event scene for the summer. Maybe he doesn't even get to the main event scene, maybe goes to Money in the Bank next month, I don't know, but Damian Priest needs to be elevated. He needs to be elevated beyond The Miz and gets into a program where he can really sink his teeth into, and you gotta start building momentum. No more 50-50 stuff. It's, hey, you gotta ride this train, ride it all the way you can to wherever it's gonna be, because looking at the main event scene later is, you got like three people and that's about it. And you're gonna run out of challengers for whoever the champion is going forward. So a guy like Damian Priest should be in that spot. Could WWE do the thing where they have Morrison help Miz and we could throw this to one more pay-per-view? Yeah. I mean, it's a WWE thing to do. They could technically move this on. But did Miz beat him the night after WrestleMania? I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did. He got his...
So this would be the rubber match. Okay. So,
yeah.
So this should be the finish. So Miz tries to run. Morrison tries to help. The Lumberjacks interfere, stop all that from happening. I would expect Damian Priest to jump over the top rope or off the top rope down onto a pile of WWE superstars to make that big moment. The big, you know, hey, look at us. Woo, we're going to fly. And everyone falls down type movement that everyone likes in those type of matches. That way you clear all the Lumberjacks and Miz is all left alone. And then Damian Priest takes him out and puts his vest back on and leaves. I still think that's weird that he puts his vest on after he wins.
Look, you gotta look fly.
It just looks weird. It's like, no one puts their jacket back on.
He's putting his jacket on, he's leaving, and then he's gonna go hit the club. That's what he's doing.
I remember one time, actually, he went to the hot tub.
That was something. They need to bring back the hot tub.
I mean, hot tubs are the trend right now. Especially right here on Twitch.
Damian Priest hot tub stream. Somebody do it.
He'll write your username on his arm. while he's in his hot tub. That is...
Honestly, I just want that like Damian Priest is the point. He's doing a promo and he's doing a promo in a hot tub.
By the way, that is so dumb. Just the hot tub streams are just so dumb. Anyway, besides
what else do we have to do?
Fish. No, fish. We're done fishing. Anyway, so I guess I'm gonna go Damian Priest so he gets elevated. What about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna say Damian Priest. I want to see him win. No offense to Miz, because I think Miz is fabulous and he's wonderful and he's done wonderful things. But I want to see Damian Priest get elevated and move up. Because the thing with Miz is you can always put him in a main event slot. It's
Miz is fine where he's at. Magic 8 Ball, will the Miz beat Damian Priest? Ask again later. All right. Will Damian Priest win on Sunday? Concentrate and ask again. The 8 Ball doesn't know. Will the Miz win on Sunday? Don't count on it.
Wrestler 1.
That, on our sheet, is Damian Priest. All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship is on the line in the match that nobody wanted at WrestleMania, so we're getting it here.
At WrestleMania Backlash.
Rhea Ripley, your champion, is taking on Asuka and Charlotte Flair with de facto Sonya Deville in her back pocket / corner.
This one is riled up an animal. Dave Bautista. He's not happy that he believes Asuka's going to get the job down here. Well, Dave, I've got some bad news. It feels like Asuka's going to be the one jobbed out here.
They're not. Charlotte's just launched a new heel character. But here's my concern. Like, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot with Rhea since she won the title at Mania. Like, they have done absolutely nothing really to capitalize on her momentum either. And they've just kind of reduced her to being a person with a title.
What
like,
is she?
That's
like,
it.
It's like the question is, what is Rhea Ripley? Is she a good girl or a bad girl?
I think she's kind of an in-between. I think she's not good. She's not bad. She just does her own thing. And it depends on what side of the bed she wakes up on that morning of whether she wants to choose chaos or not. Like, I think she's perfectly fine as a tweener. She's obviously not fully like into the heel side as what Charlotte is, but she's not a good guy either. Like, she is her. She's sort of that, I guess, I almost want to say chaotic neutral that just is there, and she has the title, and she'll just take all comers.
They're missing an opportunity with her to really flesh out this character and really present her as something special. Because she has that unique look that a lot of the other women do not have. Like, if you remember back at the original Mae Young Classic and to what she is now, she's a completely, completely different person.
She has achieved her final punk form.
She has. She was young babyface turned punk rock girl right now. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's the look that works for her. It's the style that works for her. It's the edge that she needs. But they sort of pigeonholed her as generic heel in a way, which isn't what you want. I mean, in a way, that's, I was gonna say good, but it's not good, but it's also not bad. At least she has some sort of defined roles, like pointing out that she's maybe good or bad. They've been booking her on the heel side, even though apparently in the crowd they've told them to cheer her. I don't understand, but that's where we're at. We're talking about Ripley. For those just tuning into our live or here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. Ding. But I just feel like they've missed an opportunity to make her special instead of like, oh, hey, I'm here. That's it. If you didn't watch NXT, you don't know who Rhea Ripley is. Since she's come in, she's sort of just been she's Rhea Ripley. She's already been established on NXT for a year and a half, which is what that show on USA Network is supposed to be. It's, hey, we have all this talent. You should know who it is. But that show is seen by a third of the audience that watches Raw. They didn't bring her in and let her dominate anyone. She came in, she won the title, and then she's just been a girl on the roster. She's just been a body. She's the champion, but she hasn't gone out there and shown like, hey, I'm Rhea Ripley, I'm a badass, I'm here to dominate. She's had highly competitive matches. She should have gone in and she should have ripped through Lana, she should have ripped through Naomi, she should have ripped through Mandy and Dana, just sort of like made a stamp on the division. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, I don't disagree with any of that at all. But if you look at it, what's always interesting to me is women like Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, they take those really dominant, badass women and they water them down really heavily. You've ever noticed that, especially in the last 12 months, they have really, really, really reduced those women down to just being there. They don't necessarily get to be badasses. And this is my this has been my concern about the women's division, that they've been doing this actively for a while, because if you notice, they have reduced a lot of the really badass women down. Like even Charlotte, who is fairly dominant in her own right, they've have her doing this current character, and she's not doing a bad job at it. It's just annoying, which is the point, because you're not supposed to like it. But she's not, and I don't really even know how to say this, like, I feel like they've just kind of reduced her and down into this whiny diva. Like, just based on the look that she's doing, based on everything that she's doing. And I'm almost terrified that they're trying to bring the diva era back. Not that there was anything wrong with the women. For the divas that were there, they all worked extremely hard, but they all worked very hard to get the women to where they were 12 months ago, to get those opportunities. And now I feel like they're like, okay, yeah, you know, you guys main evented WrestleMania. We gave you your own pay-per-view. You've done Hell in a Cell. You've done Elimination Chamber. You have your own Rumble. You know, we gave you all the opportunities that we gave the guys, but now we're just going to kind of sort of take our foot off the pedal here.
A little, but here's what I think, and this goes to the roster that's currently put together. They're afraid to put people in tiers. Like, we don't have a lower card tier of women, do we? You have a bunch of girls who are, like, in the mid-card, and then you have your main eventers, Rhea, Charlotte, and Asuka, on Raw. Everyone else is just sort of there. They tend to, even when it comes to Lana, they're trying to make them on the same level playing field.
But you shouldn't.
That's my point. Which is a fine thing. If you want to make all those girls on the same level, Naomi and the like, and Mandy and all them on the same level, that's fine. But you also need enhancement girls. Just like the guys, when you establish newer guys in the division, you need enhancement guys to help elevate these girls. Rhea Ripley needs people to dominate. Charlotte needs people to dominate, because Asuka had it. You need girls to sort of make them along the way. Especially on Raw, where you have time to fill a 3-minute Rhea Ripley match where she just throws around a local girl, and maybe when crowds get back, you're able to bring in new talent, and that's part of it. Where you can't bring in those enhancement people because of COVID and everything, that's part of it. But you need enhancement talent to help elevate these people, because that's how you've done it for decades. Back in the 80s, 70s, 60s, and the 50s, the 90s, and whatever, you've had people who are put in a position to help the stars get over and not worrying about themselves. They're there to enhance the product. That's why it's an enhancement match. Rhea she's had competitive matches, which is fine, but she doesn't stand out. Charlotte right now, not standing out. Asuka's not standing out because they're on the same level. You need to enhance the talent in front of you. There needs to be a gap. There needs to be a skill gap from the top tier to the low tier. If everyone's in the mid, no one's getting over.
And I can't tell if they're holding for someone, like if they're holding for, say, like a Becky to come back, and that's what they're doing.
But that won't do it. That's just another name who's going to be in the mid.
I understand that. No, she's not going to be in the
mid. No, but I mean, like, everyone's going to be together. It's like, no one's breaking apart. There's hand motions with breaking apart.
But I feel like they don't want them to break apart. I feel like they don't want them to break out. I feel like it's okay. We, like I said, we gave you your due. We've established women stars, you know, that we can rely on, but now we're going to kind of dial it back a few pegs because that's what we're going to do. Rhea needs to absolutely be ripping through people. That's what made her dominant in UK. That's what made her dominant in NXT. And that should be what makes her dominant here.
I'm going to interrupt you really quick. We say, like, I'm pointing all this out on the Raw side. Then you look at SmackDown, Bianca's a star. Like, they've made her the presence of her, where she's come in, she's looked like a star. She's taking out the people she's needed to take out. So it's like, they're not stopping making the stars. Just on Raw, it's sort of like, eh?
Raw has a lot of problems.
that's the thing.
I think we said this Monday, Raw has
issues.
Yeah. Because Raw in general it feels like everybody's on the same playing field. It's not just the women, it's everybody. You don't have anybody really standing out at all, because it's all just being kept on the same even keel.
Right, I put that on SmackDown. You're seeing people break out, you're seeing people becoming stars, and you have clearly defined levels of talent on that show.
Somebody please send Triple H to Raw. Please, just let that man run the show.
I don't think he wants to. No one wants that headache right now.
Nobody wants that headache, but they should. But I mean, it's like the other factor that we're not talking about at all because we're too busy bashing the show.
We're not bashing. We're critiquing, you know, where they're at. I'm not calling it. It's not bashing.
Okay, fine. I'm bashing the show. Is Alexa Bliss. Because they are moving Alexa Bliss back into the women's division. Bray Wyatt is dealing with things, and we all hope you get better, Bray, and you feel better, because we love you, if it's true. Is what factor will she play in this at all? Because she did participate Monday night in the six-woman tag, where it was a magical, mystical ending, where we think Shayna Baszler got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her eye on someone, and you kind of had Charlotte sort of eyeing up Alexa, so they could go. LeMans, there's a rumor going around about Bray that he's dealing with personal issues, and that's why he's off TV. But there's no confirmation on that. But anyway, back to Alexa, where she was eyeing up somebody in the match. Charlotte was kind of eyeing up Alexa, so I think everybody's guessing it's Charlotte and Alexa.
Maybe? I don't know. Maybe Asuka? Who knows?
Maybe Asuka? Like, Alexa could... I'm guessing it's whoever's in this match, and Alexa could be playing a factor, because it's not Nia and Shayna. They're in the tag division. Alexa's looking for somebody that's solo, so it could be Rhea. It could be Charlotte. It could be Asuka. We don't know. Or it could be somebody else.
I don't think she gets involved here. I think they're going to save her shenanigans for afterwards on Raw. If that's the direction they're going with it, whoever, maybe the champion or one of the losers of this match. That being said, all that stuff aside, this is going to be a hell of a match.
If they let them go, if they give them time, it's not COVID. If they let them go, if they get time, this will be fantastic. Like, I'm actually, for a match, I'm looking forward to it, because all three of these women can work. All three of these women know what they're doing. Rhea and Asuka turned in a fantastic match at WrestleMania. Charlotte and Rhea had a good match last year at Mania. Let's see what all three of them can do together. And I hope it turns out the way we all want it to, which is Rhea retains. But I just don't know. Like, I think I would be really disappointed if they just gave Rhea the title for like a month after her debut, and she's a transitional champion, and they just put it back on Charlotte. Because realistically, I understand Charlotte's like, I'm the opportunity, I'm Charlotte Flair, I'm awesome, look at me, aren't I so great? I get that's what they're doing with her, but I don't think she needs the title at this point. She's like, what, a 15, 13, 20 billion time champion at this point? And she's been on the roster 5 years. So I don't think she needs a title at this point. I'd rather see it stay on Rhea, just because Asuka just had it. She carried it all through last year from Money in the Bank on, and she did it with wonderfully, beautifully. But I think Asuka needs a rest, and you just need to reset the challengers with Rhea.
Charlotte Flair is an opportunity you can always bank on. Rhea Ripley's going to retain on Sunday.
By the way, speaking of Charlotte, is she like, I don't want to like, I'm not trying to body shame her. I'm just like worried about her. She's lost like a ton of weight. Is she okay?
We hope so. Anyway, Magic 8-Ball, will Rhea Ripley retain on Sunday? Yes, definitely. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
That on our sheet is Asuka.
Okay, all right. And flipping brands, we were talking about her. Bianca Belair takes on Bayley in a SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bayley, Jesus Christ. Bayley has been doing her best work. Like, we thought she was doing her best work this time last year. No. Mama's turning in her best stuff right now. Like, she's just on point.
She came out on SmackDown and she cut a hell of a promo. Hell of a promo.
Like, she has found herself in this character. She's figured out what she's doing, and she's got the ball, and she's running with it, and I'm here for it. It's like, yes. Yes, ma'am. You just go off.
She's really good at what she does. And her playing her part really well has made Bianca Belair, quite frankly, Bayley is responsible for making Bianca. It started before the Rumble, into the Rumble, and then after. She's the one making Bianca, which is what you need. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because Bianca has a really good antagonist to play off of.
Mm-hmm. Like, so you talk about how Bayley was doing her best work last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was. And we've talked about it. I've talked about it a lot, where a character builds up equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bayley built up so much equity as the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. She held it forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
She dominated all the way through the pandemic era. She took it through, she retained at WrestleMania last year. She continued on and on, all the way up until the WrestleMania main event at Hell in a Cell. Still gonna push that one over. Against Sasha.
You're so bitter about that.
So bitter. But it doesn't matter. But she built up so much equity. And when you're a heel, and you're the dominant heel for that long, you've built up so much equity that when you lose, it's a big deal. Her losing to Sasha, huge deal. Bianca beating Bayley, who was the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion, is a big deal. She built all this equity and is now using it properly into making the next person. That way, Bayley, when she at some point wins back the title, has another challenger. Right now, that challenger eventually is the current champion, Bianca Belair.
Yep.
So in the case of smart booking, they've booked Bayley in a position where they made her. They took her in 2019. They turned and went from lovable Bayley to this heel in October of 2019 and has taken her, built her up, and now she's spreading all the wealth out. She's making Bianca Belair the next star of the division. That way, Sasha has people, Bayley has people. Then when you want to do the draft, you bring other people over. They have different challengers for Bianca Belair. Bayley's doing the work that you need to do to help make other people and keep the division strong. That's what she's really good at. That's why on Sunday, they're going to have a hell of a match.
They are. I'm actually really looking forward to this. I kind of can't wait, because I don't think these two have ever gone one-on-one.
They have. They've had one SmackDown, which is where Bianca's beaten Bayley. That started the whole process of making Bianca for WrestleMania. Bayley's elevated her.
I remember now. It's been so long. Time has no meaning.
Time has no meaning, but we both believe Bianca is going to retain, right? There's no way they're flipping it back, right?
They don't need to. I mean, get it off of Bayley, keep it off of Bayley for a while, keep it off of Sasha for a while. Those two have done more than their part in terms of carrying the entire brand and the entire company on their backs for a year. So, you know, I think they absolutely deserve a rest. I think they absolutely have done their part. And yeah, let's run with Bianca and keep it going, because I think Bianca's more than earned it. And she's doing her best work right now. Like, she's just lighting it up. They're just doing a wonderful job with her. I wish whoever was writing for Bianca would write for Rhea, because Jesus.
Yeah. So here's the one thing. Bayley's this current challenger. Sasha's probably the next. The goal for the next 6 months is to find the next.
Well, there could be a certain redhead.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's
that
probably
could be back in the next 6 months.
That's true. But beyond that, you still need, there needs to be another chess piece on SmackDown. They need to find one more piece to make it work. Maybe.
I don't know about Io.
Okay. The problem with Io is you're going to have to start building her. You have to, because you can't just start her in. By piece, you need another heel, basically. You need another heel challenger. And while Io's heel thing was okay, it wasn't the best. She's a better babyface, or tweener, whatever. But she leans more of a, her move style leans more baby than heel. You need another heel chess piece on SmackDown to fully establish that division.
Hold on. Stall. We're live Googling.
As she's Googling, I'm going to ask the Magic 8-Ball, because we're both picking Bianca Belair to retain. Magic 8-Ball, will Bianca Belair retain on Sunday? Very doubtful. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Has Bianca Belair retaining?
I mean, looking at SmackDown's roster, you have Carmella. You could build Carmella up. She's a nice heel. You have Natty. She's in the team with Tamina, but you could easily break that apart.
Yep.
Ruby's a no. Liv's a no.
I would wish they would do more with the Riot Squad, but focus them in the tag division, really establish them as a duo. Because Liv and Ruby don't work with Bianca, because they're all baby faces. You need the heel chess piece right now. if Bayley was the champion or Sasha heel champion, Liv and Ruby have the spot because they're babyface chess pieces that you can put in there and it works.
Wow, I didn't realize SmackDown's women's division was that small.
That's what I'm saying. You need...
Rebalance that. They need to bring somebody else over.
Yeah. You have women... Okay, to be fair, they had Chelsea Green. She got hurt and... Let go. You're going to have to bring up pieces because they have plenty of them down in NXT. You have to create new pieces for the board so you can make your moves over the next year. That's why it's important in the next 6 months they do that. So anyway, but to be fair, with the SmackDown Women's Division being so light, they only have 2 hours.
Yeah.
You don't need you don't need a lot, but you need enough.
Yeah. Well, man, I got some bad news on that. Shayna, I think they're done with Shayna. I think this is all they're going to let her do. I don't think they're going to let her dominate like she did in NXT, which is a shame because she did great work down in NXT. And honestly, I wish they would send her back because she could work with Jessamyn. And I don't know if Marina's still working or not.
Jessamyn's moved on from active training. She's focusing on other projects.
Okay, so they're both out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you can still move her back to NXT.
I think Marina's more in line for training, but I know Jessamyn has focused on the up, down, down stuff and behind the scenes stuff like that.
Well, but that's a good place for her to be as well. I mean, it's like...
Her end goal was never to be a full-time wrestler. She was there because Shayna was there and Ronda was there, and she was part of the act.
Yeah, and I think at some point there was a plan to do the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen, and it just never came to be.
Timing was never on their side.
Yeah. So, but yeah, unfortunately, I think Shayna is all they're going to let her be unless they find somebody, like, would they let her and Rhea go.
And you'll get those one-offs, but as a full... on character as a full-on single star, it's not in her future.
Mm-mm. Which is sad.
It's sad, but at the same time, her she's in a position where she's on the tail end rather than on the rise of her career. That makes sense.
It does make sense.
What's next?
You have the Raw Championship on the line as your champion Bobby Lashley defends against Braun Strowman and former guest of this show, Drew McIntyre.
It's the WWE Championship, just so people are aware.
Whatever. It's the Raw one.
It's the one with the black strap. Anyway, okay, so we talked about it earlier. Your main event scene sucks. Your main event scene on Raw sucks.
No offense, Drew. No offense.
No offense to them, but that's it. It's them, and that's it. But we've seen Lashley and Drew. We've seen it twice in the last month. We've seen Lashley and Drew one-on-one. We've seen Lashley and Strowman one-on-one. We've seen the act. Lashley and Strowman are big guys, and they have potential to have a really good match or match. They don't. That act is not a blow-away match, especially with Braun. Braun is very limited. He has his moments. He has his big spots. But as a worker, he needs a certain type of talent to elevate him, make him look good. You have other talents on the roster. You got AJ Styles, but he's in a tag team thing right now, so he's not. We've already done the Drew and AJ story already. There was Keith Lee, but Keith Lee's thing is interesting. I guess I don't. No one really knows what the official word with Keith is. Not medically cleared. One day we'll know the true story, but that is the decision with Keith right now.
I just can't figure out what's going on with him because, like,
one would assume if it's not medically cleared, it has something to do with the head.
Yeah.
That's usually the case, but who knows exactly what it is. But your main event scene, you look at it and go, okay, Braun's here to lose. That's his spot because Drew's not going to take the fall, or neither should Lashley, because they're the two pieces you're sort of aiming for. Those are two top chess pieces that you're trying to protect. Your king and your queen.
You're bringing a lot of chess references tonight.
I know. I don't know why. It's just...
Rocks into the chess.
I like chess. Anyway.
I like chess pie. Does that count?
No. But anyway, you look at it going forward. Okay, so let's play out the scenario. Bobby Lashley beats Braun Strowman, which means Drew is still owed his one-on-one rematch for the WWE Championship at some point, and you do that at Money in the Bank, Lashley and Drew. Okay, we've all covered that, right? Then what? There's not much there. There are nobody... Going back to the women's conversation, there's tiers. You have a bunch of mid-card and then what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Raw's lacking the mid-card kind of, sort of, right now.
Bit.
So I think the end goal, which I think you saw it on Monday where it started, is to get the title back on Drew. Could happen Sunday, could happen at Money in the Bank. But the title for the idea this summer is to get the title on Drew again. Because rightfully so, he is the guy you've spent the most time building and going from there. So you need heel challengers for Drew McIntyre, and they've started to create a new heel challenger with the one they just brought back. What's next for Drew is probably Jinder.
Well, people back on Monday, they brought back Jinder. They brought back Jeff Hardy. He's a main event player that you could easily move into a slot if you needed to. Damian Priest, we talked about him earlier, how he could go kind of up into that main event slot, and they could make him this summer if they wanted to. So you have some pieces that you could move around if you decide not to put the title back on Drew and you choose to leave it on Bobby, which could be an option. I don't think it's going on Braun. I just don't.
No, that we saw that experiment last year, and it was not the best.
It was not the best. What's really interesting to me is that WWE has Randy Orton in a tag feud when he's one of your top heels. And we all know the decision that was out of WrestleMania, which was technically Randy Orton beat The Fiend at WrestleMania, and then The Fiend and Alexa Bliss disappeared, and then Bray Wyatt just vanished. And after doing, and obviously a very dramatic, heavy, weird 6-month story with Bray and Alexa and building to what was supposed to be Rumble, and then it turned into Mania for what are now supposedly obvious reasons, they decided to move him into this tag feud, which he supposedly asked for. It's interesting to me that they have him in that tag feud when you need players for your main event scene for your title to challenge either Lashley or Drew. And I know that we've seen Orton and Drew. We saw it earlier, or I should say about this time last year, where they feuded for the title after Mania. But it's like, we haven't seen Lashley and Orton.
But and here's the thing. With Randy, right? The last two summers have been about Randy's chase for the title. So it would be the third summer of Randy going for the belt. And I think they want to steer away from that and make other people.
I respect that, but at the same time, it's like when you need somebody credible and you don't necessarily have anybody credible built that you can just throw in there, Randy's always the good option. Randy is the perfect plan B. You need a bad guy, Randy Orton. You need a good guy, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Need somebody to carry your title, Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has become that guy mm-hmm. that you can rely on. That is like, no matter what, he is the failsafe. He's always there, and he's perfect for that at this stage. And so I feel like that could be an option for them coming out of this and heading into the summer, is you use Randy as a way to make someone. Or go against Bobby, because he could be a really good, like, protagonist or antagonist, wherever Bobby is at that point, for him and MVP to sort of go against. If you need him to, or he's a good person for Drew to go against, or if they decide to put the title on Braun, you could bring up all the history between Randy and Braun, because it's there. Like, he is a credible option.
Wait, why is it there?
Because he betrayed the people that welcomed him into their home, loved him.
He joined that family.
He did not join that family.
He most certainly did.
I'm not having this argument with you right now. I'm trying to make a point. Don't distract.
Hey, look. Shiny thing.
Anyway, so Randy's your failsafe if you need him. There's also, although I doubt they would have this plan for him, if they get Bray back, Bray could also come in for the summer and they could move him into the title if they need to. He is a former champion. He slots in very easily as well. He's the perfect antagonist for anybody with The Fiend, although we don't know what The Fiend's going to be moving forward, or if he's even going to be The Fiend anymore. We have no idea what's going on there. But he could slot in if you need him to.
He could. So, like, there are options, but they have to, again, make those options and make them look meaningful and not just, hey, a one-week run of, hey, now they're in a title match. You have to slowly start building them, and that's why I think you're going to see Jinder win, go on a streak here soon and today. Be put in that position.
Well, I know the desire by some people is Jinder versus Drew. Yeah, I know some people want that really, really, really bad, and it could happen. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm not on board. It's going to be your stereotypical, since he has a 3-man band with him now, beating up Drew McIntyre for weeks. That's how that's going to go.
But you have the personal history and everything like that that you can draw on. And it would be an interesting story. And Raw is, here's the thing, Raw is severely lacking stories. It's severely lacking characters. It's just really kind of severely lacking any kind of direction. It's coasting. You can tell it's coasting. It's not terrible. It's watchable, but it's just not interesting, at least to me. And that's part of my really big problem with Raw. It's like SmackDown is interesting to me because there's stories and characters I can get into. NXT is exceptionally interesting to me because, as we talked about earlier, there's characters, there's stories, there's all these things going on down there that have caught my attention. And then there's Raw, and Raw is probably like just there. And it's kind of a chore in a little bit to watch. Like, I like Drew. I love Drew. I love to watch Drew. I love Sheamus. Like, there are people on that show that I enjoy watching, but there's just nobody that it's like, that I sit here and I go, I have to watch this every week to see this person because they're not there. And like I said on Monday, it's to the point where I could watch it on YouTube. I could watch the clip show on YouTube and be satisfied. That's where I'm at with Raw. So I really want to see them do something with Raw, with the talent on Raw, to make it interesting. And maybe they will. I don't know.
That said, who's walking out with the title on Sunday?
God, I don't know. I don't know who I want to win.
So, the age-old theory, as we talked about at the start, this is Backlash. And this is could be put in your position of your typical Backlash match, where the challenger comes up short at WrestleMania and gets the belt here at Backlash. I think they're here to protect Drew and Bobby. Braun is the sacrificial lamb in this whole story. At the end, I think they're going to put the belt back on Drew. So I'm going Drew.
Again, I don't know. Because it's like I could see it very easily going back on Drew. But I just don't feel like that's going to happen. I feel like they're going to keep it on Bobby. I think they're banking on Bobby. I really, really do. Because again, Drew had it for a large portion of last year. He was your COVID era champion. He carried the title and he did it well. And I think Drew will get his moment in the sun again because he's proved he's more than capable of doing it. But I think they're really trying to make Bobby. I think they're really trying to have him be that ultra dominant champion, essentially, that they lost in Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to have him fill that role, and I think he's doing a okay job with it. Like, it's gotten a lot better since he's had MVP with him, and MVP's kind of been doing his thing because he adds that little extra bit of personality that Bobby needs, because Bobby's not the best talker. He doesn't have the best character, but with MVP there, MVP makes him look like a million bucks, and MVP can do all the talking, and he can fill the Heyman role. And that's exactly what Bobby needs. And it's worked. So honestly, I think Bobby Lashley retains.
A-Ball, does Bobby Lashley retain? A-Ball agrees with you. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
You're agreeing with the inanimate objects.
I'm fucked. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have one more match. The WWE Universal Championship is on the line as Roman Reigns takes on Cesaro. And there's some drama here. Let's just talk about this. So, for the past year, Roman Reigns has been saying, acknowledge me, I am your tribal chief. We had to endure the feud with Jey Uso. I shouldn't say endure. Endure's not the right word. We had to endure the Hell in a Cell match.
Mm-hmm.
The feud was fine. Anyway, and we did that whole big feud, leads up to the Hell in a Cell with Roman and Jey. Jimmy rolls up to help his brother. He threw in the towel for his brother, and now his brother has been reduced to being Roman's lackey. And over the last 12 months, Jey has drunk the Kool-Aid. He has fully embraced being Roman's lackey. And he was good right up until his brother showed back up. And well, Jimmy Uso has not forgotten what Roman did to his brother. He has not forgotten how Roman humiliated him and debased him and essentially ruined his relationship. Oh, I should say ruined his relationship, but basically ostracized him from the family. Jimmy Uso remembers all of this. And Jimmy Uso, he's not cool with it. He's not cool with Roman. He's not cool with Jey. And he's not going to acknowledge Roman. That could create a headache for Roman on Sunday.
It could, and going forward, unless Jimmy decides to align and help Roman retain on Sunday.
Honestly, though, I'm really kind of here for Jimmy trying to save his brother's soul.
Because the final thing he said is, like, we're here to win the tag belts. Like, what if we're the tag champ and he's the world champ? Now we're on even playing field, basically. And there was, like, some torn stuff at the end where Jimmy did eventually get involved in the main event, aftermath, and what have you. Which, it's going to play a big part of it. Here's my problem with this whole feud, right? They don't trust Cesaro.
Mm-mm.
From the beginning, like, for say what you will about everything they've done, they gave Cesaro his his biggest win at the WrestleMania, the solo win, which they said is like his first singles win at WrestleMania. I've never heard them use that term before, ever, about someone. But they were putting him over. They put over the spin, the no-hand spin, whatever it was called. The first night back, they put that over. That's great. They're trying to really push him as the guy. And then there's the Daniel Bryan thing that happened all the way through it, where Daniel Bryan was out here cutting Cesaro's promos for him. And you go, why is Daniel Bryan cutting these promos, putting over Cesaro? I understand Daniel's trying to make him and what have you, but he was doing the full promo. Cesaro was like the second man. He wasn't really getting the drive and the push and everything like that in terms of mic ability. And to be fair, Cesaro's not a guy who's going to go out there and cut a big passionate speech, a big promo, because I think something happens when the camera turns on, the personality you see on Up, Up, Down, Down, it's not the guy you see on television. When the red light turns on, he's not as comfortable cutting that top of the line promo that you need, which is why Bryan was doing the promo to push him and put him in that spot, which worked. And Cesaro's a wrestler through and through. He's a traditional pro wrestler who's very talented, which is what is why everyone wants him to be get everything, because he's really good at what he does. At the end of the day, I can see why Vince McMahon has been hesitant for years about pushing Cesaro, putting him in that spot, because he lacks it. He lacks that one special thing that makes you believe that he's a true top tier talent. Cesaro's really good and can have matches, the best matches with anyone in the world, whether it's Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Uso, you name it, he can have the best match on the show. But WWE is World Wrestling Entertainment, and the E plays a big factor before the W at the end of the day. And that sort of hurts Cesaro. And it's always hurt him, it will always hurt him. They've done a very solid job of trying to make you believe that Cesaro can be that guy, be in that position on Sunday, be the guy who can take out Roman Reigns. But it's just who he is and the way he looks and everything he does. Cesaro doesn't look the part. He came out the night after WrestleMania, the first SmackDown, in the suit, and you looked at him compared to Roman, and he just looked like a guy who just walked off the street in a suit. He doesn't look like the guy. To me, this is just my opinion. He doesn't look like the guy who's going to take out Roman Reigns. Like, he's not there. The visual is not there. The presence is not there. All the talent in the world, he can have it. But when you look at it and you size it up, one's better than the other. Even though the other guy's more talented in the ring, the other guy has it. And you can just, the visual, you see it. And I can see why Vince goes, I don't see it. Because it's just there. I hate it. I hate saying this, but it's there. You can see it. It's clear. I don't know. What do you think?
I would like Cesaro to get the title once.
Everyone would, yeah.
I think he's earned it. I think he deserves it. I don't know if it would be anything spectacular, because Cesaro on his own is good. He is a tremendous wrestler. But Cesaro is always better when he has someone to play off of, because he's really the perfect straight man for like a comedy duo. That's why him and Sheamus worked really, really, really well together, is because their personalities meshed and they just did their thing. It's why he and Tyson Kidd did very well together. When he finds the right personality to mesh with, it's really good. It's really entertaining, but he needs that personality to really play off of, to make it entertaining. And not to say that he's not entertaining, because he is. I would like to see it, but I just don't know if they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on him. I don't think that title's changing. Like, I think unless something happens where Jimmy costs Roman, that's the only thing I can figure. Like, basically, Jimmy lures Roman into this false sense of security, outplays him, and costs Roman the title. And then it's, what are you going to do about it? This was for my brother. This is for what you did to my brother. You value that title over everything. You value that title over family, over all that we've built. And by the way, we shouldn't acknowledge you. You should acknowledge us because we were here long before you. We opened that door for you to have all the success that you have. We stood by you the whole way. So don't be pulling this crap, basically. And I could see that happening, and I could see Cesaro getting it for a month, 2 months, and then while Roman deals with Jay, and that opens up the title picture, or not Jay, I'm sorry, Jimmy, and that opens up the title picture a little bit for other people to go for the title while Roman's busy with Jimmy. Because honestly, if it's Jimmy versus Roman, you don't need to have the title involved in that. So you move it on to someone else, like Cesaro, and you have Cesaro face like your Kevin Owens is and your other people that are on that show. Kevin Owens is on SmackDown.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown.
Okay, I want to make sure. It's like, wait, I'm not sure. So it's like you could do those feuds while Roman and Jimmy do their thing. And then you could have potentially a situation where somehow Jimmy ends up in a title match, or Roman ends up in a title match, or whatever, where you can always give the title back to Roman. Like, there's no reason why you can't.
So, going back to the Bayley thing, right? I mentioned the word equity, right? Mm-hmm. Roman has a lot of equity. It has to be used correctly. I don't think Roman's equity would be used correctly to give it to Cesaro. Because Cesaro is the guy of the month. He's the challenger for this month. He's not your long-term solution in that role. He's your challenger this month. He could wind up next month getting another title shot because they like to do rematches, even if it doesn't make any sense. It was brought up in chat. The other name that could be the guy to dethrone Roman, but I think you're 4 months away, 3 months away, SummerSlam. Where Big E gets at, where you use Roman's equity to make Big E. Because the difference between Big E and Cesaro is, when Big E needs to be serious, you believe he's serious. But he has that entertaining personality side that works. He has the full package in terms of being able to switch gears and turn it wherever it needs to be. Whether he's a long-term solution or not, that's up to them to decide. But I think Big E would be better served. They would be better served making Big E with the Roman's equity than they would Cesaro. Even though Cesaro is probably pound for pound the better wrestler out of the entire bunch. The best wrestler doesn't always win. The overall package wins 9 times out of 10. Original Daniel Bryan, when he won the world title, was just a guy holding the belt. Yes, Movement Daniel Bryan became the total package. Best wrestler, but also transitioned his style from being the best wrestler to the best overall entertaining character they had. Like, you go back in history, I mean, you know who the best technical guys are, but they weren't always the most entertaining champions. But they got the belt, and they were put in the spots, and there's some guys who never got the belt, but they were the most technically sound, but the most technically sound don't always win. Because you have to have it. Cesaro is missing it, and especially at the age he's at, equity would best serve building other people. Cesaro, whatever this program is with Roman and how far it gets him, Seth Rollins helped elevate Cesaro to a spot from mid to now upper mid. And I think that's where he can fluctuate between mid and upper mid, and he can be a credible threat, but he'll be bridesmaid, not the bride. I've used a lot of analogies in these.
You have been like analogy city tonight.
I know. It makes for great discussion.
I have to agree with that. Like, I think, like I said, I think all of us would love to see Cesaro win the title, but it would just be one of those things that we want to see him win the title because we feel like he has earned it in his time in WWE. Like, this story, like you said, they've done a wonderful job of making Cesaro look like a credible threat to Roman, to the point that it's like, yes, it's actually a possibility. They could do it. They could do it for shock factor. They could do it because they want to, because Vince was feeling ornery that day. Like, for whatever reason, they could do it. And that would be really cool if they did, but I just honestly, in my heart of hearts, I don't think it's moving. I don't think they're taking the title off of Roman. I think it's staying exactly where it is, and Roman's going to mow through somebody else. My concern with that is that at some point, Roman will go through everybody because it is not the biggest roster. And what do you do then? So, you know, it's like kind of like what they did with Drew. Where Drew and Randy had that feud, and they had it, and they had it, and they had it, and they actually finally had Randy win the title off of Drew, and it was for like a month, 6 weeks, but it was still enough time to sort of like reset, and that was what it needed. So, especially when you're going to do a long title reign like that, sometimes you just need to reset it. Sometimes you just need to do something different, because after a while, long title reigns, they get boring. Because, like I said, you run out of challengers. You run out of stories. So you do need to freshen it up.
But SmackDown has enough people to get to SummerSlam.
Yeah, to get to SummerSlam. And then we'll see. And I'm not saying that they need to do it now, but just, it could be a possibility. But honestly, I truly believe that that title is staying on Roman. It's not moving.
SummerSlam would be the spot to sort of reset everything with Roman. Because then it would be almost basically a year where he's had the strap. And that would be a good break-off point. He was the head of the table, now he has to rebound. And you build his arc back to WrestleMania. Or the Rumble, whatever you want. Anyway, I'm going Roman Reigns.
I gotta say Roman. I as much as I want to see Cesaro win, I just don't think it's happening.
Magic 8-Ball, will Cesaro win the WWE Universal title on Sunday? 8-Ball agrees, says Cesaro's winning.
Wrestler 1.
That's Roman Reigns.
And there you go. That does it. That is our WrestleMania Backlash preview. Do you like our picks? Do you agree? Well, you can tweet us. You can tell us all the way up until like noon on Sunday, and you can submit your picks for Bragging Rights to see if you can pick better than the 8-Ball and the Wheel of Fun.
Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network to make your picks.
Yeah. And with that, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Hey, did you know? We've talked to Renee Young and Drew McIntyre. If you didn't, now you know. You can go listen to those interviews wherever you get your podcast, to search The Rack Radio Show. Saturday Night Midnight is another edition of Secret Radio. SecretLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Before the show, we'll have some sort of Fortnite with friends with me and Lindsay. We're going to figure something out. As the intern's off doing
things. He's being a supportive coworker.
He's being a supportive coworker. He's doing things. So yeah. Sunday night Wrestle Talk Radio will review WrestleMania Backlash around 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Push 11 p.m. Eastern. The final edition for this season of the Miz and Mrs. will be available season 2, episode 20 at 11:30 p.m. Eastern once the show ends. Wherever you get your podcast, search The Rack Radio Show. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review WrestleMania Backlash. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. And you can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are epic partners.
Ding.
Woo! And you can follow me on all the social medias, or most of the social medias, at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody, if you get a quick second, check out our fine friends over at MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And we will see you next week with our WrestleMania Backlash review. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.